The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have Josh Weinfuss with ESPN here in the Valley, covering the Cardinals, Cardinal Insider for ESPN. Josh Weinfuss will be with us. Jordan Hamm is going to start doing something new here in 2022 around the transfer portal, because the portal is become like this mega beast out there. And there's plenty of names that are in the portal looking to make moves. And we will have Jordan Hamm with us. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. We were out with Jeff Mishi and Carlisa and their whole team yesterday at the Cardinals game. I'm going to start right off the top on something heavy because we're just open here. So yesterday I'm at the Cardinals game and I get the text from my wife that her mother passed away. Dementia is... I wish that when I was in high school, someone would have said, we're going to take a few days here in our civics class and we're going to talk about aging parents. We're just going to talk about aging parents, because someday it's going to happen to you. And nobody did that. You know, we hear about, well, grandmother went to a home, or people will take them in, which is great. Unfortunately, not all of us have that lens. And so my mother-in-law and her husband were married 69 years. 69. I met her when I was 14. I'm in my mid-50s now. And she's a wonderful lady. But dementia started coming into her life, I'd say, 5 years, 6 years ago. And it's maybe even longer than that, but for sure, last 5, 6 years. And so yesterday was a relief. You know, when you're seeing your wife as a caregiver and her sisters as caregivers, and nobody likes to talk about this stuff. You know, we all want to talk about the Cardinals game against Seattle in the playoffs. Why are you being so heavy? Because this is real. Stuff happens. Like, I got the text, and it was the middle of the first quarter, and I was with the Desert Financial people having a really nice day. I was going to take my wife with me, but she was caregiving, and we knew that the end was near. There was hospice there. And she said, no, you need to go. So I go, and I get the text, I'm gone. I'm out. I race back there. And so I walk in the other room, because people don't know how to deal with death, and everybody handles death differently. The Cardinals game is on, and they're like, oh, so this, and there's a couple people in there, and they're like wanting to chat up about the Cardinal game. And like, I don't care. I don't care right now. You know, there's this thing where it's great that sports is a distraction. It's the candy store and all that stuff. And I went back and I watched the game last night when I was able to just. But in the heaviness of it all, sometimes I don't get it. I don't. So yesterday was one of those days, and I ran out and brought food back, and we move things around and in their home. And it was a relief on one hand to see a family that has just been caregiving for so long. And then on the other hand, it's okay. We got to do a show, got to do sports. And so that's the front end of it for me. Some days I sit here and there's things going on all around me, as with you. And we are meant to be a little bit of a distraction, but I think just being an open book that there's times where we're here trying to do what we do, it's not easy, okay? Today is not one of those days. I feel blessed that I knew her. I know that she made such an impact on people. And to see a husband and wife together for 69 years, we don't see that. Somebody looked it up for us, and it was like 0.015% or something that people are married for longer than 60 years. It would have been 70 this May. So that is the backdrop and the lens. In terms of the Cardinals, man, do they stink at home. If I were to sit here, and we have Josh Weinfuss coming up with us here in a couple of minutes, I have to ask him, what is the deal about stinking at home? Why? How? Why doesn't this ever get figured out this season? And yeah, I guess on my end, it's okay. You lose J.J. Watt, you lose DeAndre Hopkins, you lose James Conner, you don't have Chase Edmonds, you don't have Rondale Moore. But a Cliff Kingsbury coach team does this. It's not just at home. What happened in Detroit? Okay, what happened earlier in this regular season? So now, on their end, it's, oh, all is well, all's great, we're going to go to the playoffs. Okay, it's great they made the playoffs. This has been a year of progress, hasn't it? To me, it has. And I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. I'm also not going to sit here and pile on. They've had a very good season. They made the playoffs. All right. But if you are a one and done because you completely, completely fell apart at the end of November and into December, and there's no denying that. None. And the way they played yesterday, you know, the secondary was a sieve. Yeah, you're beat up at running back. Special teams weren't special. And so for them to go to Los Angeles and beat the Rams, can I give you compelling reasons as to why I believe they're going to do that? Well, maybe it's because the Rams just simply aren't as good as we thought that they were. Yeah, they've got some very good players up front. It's going to be at a different level. We have to wait a week. The Cardinals and Rams are the Monday night game. And so a whole week of analyzing, can they come out of this? And is Cliff Kingsbury coaching for his job, as some people think? I think it's a fair question to ask. I myself don't believe that he is coaching for his job. But with this organization, you just never know. I mean, here it is, Black Monday, and already you've had coaches blown out in Miami, which is a surprise to me. Denver, Minnesota, Chicago, there'll be more as the day progresses. And so the owners, you know, they want to see things get turned around. Like Brian Flores being blown out of Miami today was like, what? What are you doing? You guys made progress, I thought. You know, the NFL as a whole, when you're sitting there last night and the Raiders and Chargers are playing late, and you're just like, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing? You get paid a lot of money to coach. And I've had friends in the high school coaching community, college coaching community, and even some NFL guys last night in this deal are pinging me like, what are they thinking? And so the Chargers deserve every last bit of getting crushed today for what happened last night. It really was a tremendous Sunday in that regard, in that the NFL scheduled the games late. The Rams and 49ers were a little bit ahead of the Cardinals game. So, you know, you could see that the 49ers were turning around and handing the ball off to Debo Samuel right and left, and that they were making a push down the field, and they found a way, and the Rams blew a big lead. So, you know, all in all, is it a successful season? The Cardinals made the playoffs. If anybody says no, then you just want to hate. Me, the objective, trying to be the objective one, says it's been a fine season. They made the playoffs. They should have made the playoffs at the start they got off to. They had a good roster, but injuries have caught up with this team. That's part of it. I can't give you an explanation as to what is going on at home. Just why, and we don't have to worry about it now, but it's going to get brought up next season. Second half collapses and all that stuff. Tonight's a national championship game in college football. I have a friend, he's a Georgia Bulldog fan. He is down at the game. He is convinced that Georgia's going to win this game. I'm really hoping Alabama smokes them just because he's one of those guys where it's like, hey, how's the game going? I'm that dude. I'll send the text. How's the game going? You're like, oh, really? You're that dude? Yeah, I'm that dude. Alabama should win this game, in my opinion. Why do I believe that? Vegas made him an underdog. That's going to have them riled up. Nick Saban is coaching. That's going to be an advantage. Awful lot of talent. Awful lot of talent over on Georgia's side. Not a big believer in the Georgia quarterback. That's just me. That's tonight. The transfer portal. So Jordan Hamm later in the show is going to be with us on the transfer portal. We are actually pivoting. This is our first show in 2022. So we've made some changes. And the changes really are around recruiting and college and high school. Jordan and I have been talking for a while now, and he's the one that's been saying, I really want to start doing more college. And we've done a lot around recruiting in the first 10 years of this company because people are interested in it. There's always a story. But as the transfer portal has come on board, high school recruits are now saying, yeah, I think I'm going to sit. And the transfer portal is dominating the conversation. Like just this week, Brendan Rice, former Hamilton star receiver up at Colorado, he's going to make his decision maybe on Wednesday. he's somebody that you look at and say, boy, he'd look good back at ASU. Should never got out of town in the first place, but Antonio Pierce, per usual, put the full court press on him. Might end up at U of A with all the receivers they're landing down there. I think he ends up at Michigan State because the coach that recruited him is the head coach at Mel Tucker, the head coach of Michigan State. That's just me. I could be wrong. I'm just looking at it. Chubba Purdy, quarterback at Perry High School, went to Louisville, didn't go get to Louisville, committed to Louisville, decided to decommit from Louisville, go to play for Mike Norvell at Florida State, get injured several times. And Chubba leaves Florida State, Pitt hits on him immediately, and now he's going to visit Oklahoma tomorrow. So the Oklahoma Sooners have come in and said, we want you. And then he's going to visit Nebraska on Friday and Saturday. Big news on the recruiting roundup front, except it's through the portal. And Cade Bennett, big-time offensive lineman at Notre Dame Prep, ASU, Jaden Daniels, Isaiah Glass, Connor Soley, from my understanding, have all reached out to him, have all been working him over. Hey, you got to be a Sun Devil, you got to be a Sun Devil. And right now, I don't think he's going to be a Sun Devil. I don't. Not hating on ASU. I think he's got other destinations that look more interesting. Like San Diego State is one of those places. You're like, San Diego State, it's not Pac-12. Doesn't matter. He just needs to get on the field. They won a bunch of games this year. ASU didn't. They have a brand new stadium. Wants to be in business administration. Well, what about the Carey School? Well, then use the Carey School to your advantage. You know, so there's a bunch going on, and Jordan will be with us on the recruiting roundup front on the college end. He's going to be doing college moving forward for the most part. And then Claudia Collins, when I talked with her about Jordan wanting to make a change, she says, well, I want to do recruiting roundup on the high school end. And Claudia's terrific. Claudia's great. So you'll see Claudia on the TV show over on Bally's. You'll see her here on the site, and she will be the face and voice of the recruiting roundup on the high school end. All right, Josh Weinfuss is next with ESPN Cardinal Insider here in the Valley on what is going on with the Cardinals in the present and next Monday night at LA against the Rams. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. It's good to be back with you here in 2022. We're back after this timeout. The football season rolls on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how to claim this offer. You sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. That's easy. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. That's simple. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. All right. I don't want this to be like a downer of an interview with Josh Weinfuss, an ESPN Cardinal reporter who knows all, tells all on the Cardinal scene. But they're not going to be playing after next Monday night, right? Let's go start this interview from the back to the front. Are you thinking they're going to go to LA and win, Josh?
Here's the thing. Yeah. They're 8-1 on the road this year. They were 8-1 on the road this year. So the idea of them winning is a lot better on the road than it would be if they were playing a home game. So, and the Rams, I mean, look what they did, you know, on Sunday against the 49ers. Like, that was a total collapse. So I know a lot of people want me to say that they're not going to win. I can't say that because I think that there's a chance that they could win this game. And I think there's a good chance.
So, and I'm not wanting you to say that. I would like to see them win. If you think I sit here and like talking about teams that have a total collapse late in the season every year, you know, no, I would like to see them go through this. This is the first time we've had playoffs to talk about in a long, long time. Okay. So to that end, what is going on with them at home? They don't have another home game, but look, this is going to be a narrative that will next November and December be brought up again. How are they going to be down the stretch at home? How can you be so bad at home? What is the deal?
I don't know. And here's what's crazy to me, right? Yeah. Is we've asked this question for weeks. Why are you better on the road than at home? What's the difference? And now it's become like a talking point for them. We always get the same answer. We don't know. We can't figure it out. We're still working on it. What? I get you want to keep some things in house. I understand that. But at some point, You know, you need to come out and say, like, here's what we're doing wrong. Or if you legitimately don't know, then I think that's a major, major problem that needs to be addressed at the highest level of this organization, right? I mean, if you are you start 3-0 at home, part of your 7-0 start, and then you lose 5 straight. And if you keep saying publicly, you don't have any answers, you don't have any answers, like, at what point is the fan base going to start saying, then what are you doing coaching or playing for this team if you don't know why you're losing?
Right.
You know, everyone knows why you're bad, right? Every team knows why something goes wrong, why you're having a bad stretch, why you lost a game. So you're telling me that you have no idea why you can't win at home? Like, it's almost insulting to us doing our jobs when you keep telling me you don't know. Yeah. So either you really, like I said, you either really don't know or you're lying to my face every single time I see this question, which is extra insulting. So I don't know. The problem with them not addressing this is it's going to come back as a topic all during the offseason, all during training camp, all during the beginning of next season. Every game they lose at home next year is going to be, why can't you win at home? Why can't you win at home? Instead of saying, you know, if they actually do know the reason, telling us, you don't have to go into detail. Just give us a synopsis of why you don't think you can win at home.
Okay, so as I'm sitting here hearing this and seeing it from a distance, okay. Well, we don't have DeAndre Hopkins. We don't have J.J. Watt. We don't have Chase Edmonds. We don't have Rondell Moore. I could go on all the injuries we've had. We've had some players that haven't really produced this year like we thought that they would produce this year. But we're in this era where we don't want to call people out. We just want to say, hey, you know, support the team. Everything is great. All is well. There's nothing wrong here. Well, yeah, to your point, there's plenty wrong, but I just think personnel-wise, there's stuff. You know, yesterday or Sunday's game, Russell Wilson gets ball bat out of his hands, touchdown, off and running, and then the secondary was a sieve. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, and here's a problem with criticizing this team is the same roster will look so bad at home and look so good on the road. You're just like, what's the disconnect, right? I mean,
wait, Josh. What happened in Detroit? You know,
I mean,
same
roster, right?
So 100%,
100%.
So there
I think
are
if you look at the big picture,
yeah,
if you look at the big picture, you're 8-1. So I think for the sake of a conversation, you have to say this team is really good on the road and really bad at home. So, and I think every team's going to have an off game, right? The Panthers at home, and the Lions. I think the Lions game. I think what was most telling about that was when Kyler Murray stood up at the podium, and I give him a lot of credit for this, and said we didn't expect him to be that physical. To me, that's not a roster issue. That's a coaching issue. If your coaches did not prepare you for them to be that physical, or, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if the coaches, you know, just pounded this into their head and the kids were like, you don't know what you're talking about, Dad. You're wrong. You're this old coach who doesn't know anything. Like, I know what's going on, and they're not going to be that physical. So maybe I'm totally off base by saying it's the coaching and the meetings and all that stuff, but I don't think I am. I think that this is an issue. So that game was an issue where they just weren't prepared by the coaching staff the right way. They overlooked this team or that team. But I think generally speaking, they are better on the road. I think that the numbers point to that. I think the issue is at some point, I think it goes beyond the roster, right? I really do. I think, you know, they won games.
You're talking about Cliff.
I'm talking about Cliff. I'm talking about the coaching staff and as a whole. But it starts at the top, right? We're talking about Cliff Kingsbury right now. And I think we're starting to see a point where maybe if they don't make a run in the playoffs, I think it's a legitimate question to ask that, is he hitting his ceiling as a head coach?
Mm-hmm. Is it a legitimate question to ask that he is coaching for his job next Monday night against the Rams?
No. And here's why. In my opinion, no. Here's why. Because they have made significant progress, right? And I think you have to give him credit in going from taking over a 3-win team and going to 5 wins to 8 wins to 11 wins. Mm-hmm. Now, with all that being said, you still have had pretty epic collapses the second half of seasons the last full 3 years, 2 for sure. Mm-hmm. And then I had a graphic a couple of weeks ago from our ESPN stats information people that showed this is a trend, right? Ever since 2013, his first year at Texas Tech, he's had second half collapses. So for whatever reason, Cliff Kingsbury coach teams cannot win games in the second half of their seasons. And that is why I think that maybe he's starting to hit the ceiling as an NFL head coach, because he's getting the most that he possibly can get out of a team. you've already wasted Kyler Murray's rookie contract. He'll probably get the extension after this year, now that he's eligible after year three. So all of a sudden, you're going to be spending a boatload of money on this kid if he wants to resign here. Mm-hmm. Rightfully so, because the quarterbacks kind of, you know, rule the roost. And that affects how you build your roster otherwise. You had your chance to do something last year when you lost two winning year in games. And this year, when you were sitting pretty as the number one overall seed and the leader in the NFC West, and you just couldn't make it happen. So I don't think he's fighting for his job this year. I think next year it will be, if they get bounced in the first round in LA, it will be a very, very hot seat coming in.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about the graph from ESPN Stats and Info, and they do great, great work. Yeah. Typically, what I've seen through the years, and it doesn't matter what sport, that is a group in the locker room, again, in whatever sport, that just says, okay, I've heard this, I'm done. And they just start to slowly drift away, and that's that. And that's how it is with teams that fail down the stretch. Yeah, you can talk about James Conner not being at 100%, and that's big. You can talk about outside of Zach Ertz, there really hasn't been someone consistent catching the football and making big plays the last month of the season. I don't think that that's unfair at all to point out. But is it the messaging that is being sent out? And from my view, before I get you out of here, look deep into the Monday night matchup. They gave up 200 yards rushing to the Seahawks on Sunday. This team has not been able to stop the run. Now, do you believe that they can fix that? Do you believe there's some other receivers other than Zach Ertz that can come together? Do you think they can keep the Rams pass rush away? I guess what I'm asking is, give me a compelling reason other than, well, they're on the road, that they're going to win this game, Josh.
Ooh, compelling reason. I don't have that compelling of a reason, right? I think that's good. I think if I'm going to sit here and break it down, yeah. I would say my guess is they're going to get J.J. Watt back. So I think their run defense will be a little bit better. I think that's the kind of boost that could help a team get out to a really good start. I would not be surprised. You know, obviously, you're probably going to get Chase Edmonds back. You're probably going to get Rondale Moore back. So you're going to have the kind of a more full complement of offensive weapons. DeAndre, I don't expect back maybe until late in the playoffs, if at all. So we have to kind of look at this team as kind of with what they have available. So you're going to have, you know, AJ Green, Rondale Moore, Christian Kirk, James Conner, and Chase Edmonds. I think offensively, I think that they can get going with that. And Zach Ertz, you can't forget him because he's obviously a key piece. I think because of those guys coming back healthy, I think that would be why they would win this game.
I'll let you go off that. Great insight as always. Stay safe. Enjoy the playoffs.
Thanks, you too, Brad.
There's Josh Weidenfuss with us, ESPN Cardinal Insider reporter for ESPN. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, let's take a minute here to talk about DraftKings. This is important, guys. The football season is rolling on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Really happy to have them on board. Here's how to claim this offer. Sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Act now. This offer won't be around forever, thanks to DraftKings. Right, as we start 2022, we're making a bit of a shift with people, and you see Jordan Hamm, and you know him as the host of Recruiting Roundup. Jordan is going to continue to do some recruiting, but wants to be more involved in college, and with the transfer portal, it really is Recruiting Roundup times 10, right?
Yeah, it's basically Recruiting Roundup 2.0 with how many guys are making moves either into programs here in the state of Arizona or playmakers that played here at the prep level that are now moving spots. We've already seen Jack Miller make the move. We've already seen Keaton Slovis, Spencer Rattler make the move. And there are still plenty still out in the portal. So I'm excited to help, enhance the college coverage here that we have. There are so many great colleges here in the state. But like you said, the portal makes it a completely new element that maybe even 2 years ago, it might've been a once a month thing. And now it feels like it almost needs to be a weekly thing.
Well, don't you think, Jordan, too, and we haven't really talked about this, This is, we're here in January and there's a ton of news, and it is recruiting news all over again. But I think there's going to be this type of news in April when spring football finishes up and a kid's going to say, you know, I'm not going to play, so I'm going to go in the portal again. Like, there is a negative in my view to this, where we're going to have job jumping happening all the time. People whispering in ears of players, oh, they don't respect you, they don't this, you know, that, are you going to get to the next level? Rather than, hey, just sit tight. Don't you think this is going to be more of a year-round deal?
Yeah, I think that there will be kind of those hot spots throughout the year when guys are making their moves, even right before the season. I could see that being a thing. And we've heard from both of the coaches in the national championship, Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, both say transfer portal is great. NIL is great, but both need more regulation. So we'll see how this transforms over the next couple of years. These are still two very new ideas. So I have a feeling that this isn't the finished product for the transfer portal. And that extra year of eligibility everybody got from COVID really, I think, affected that as well. So I think that this is going to be a scene here or a theme here for the next couple of years before maybe some more regulations come in or they make tweaks throughout the NCAA.
Jordan Hamm with us for a couple of minutes as we go through the transfer portal. All right, University of Arizona has had a banner recruiting year with high school, and now they're going into the portal and they're getting some dudes. Walk me through what's going on at U of A.
Yeah, it's been a great couple of weeks for U of A. At the All-American Bowl, they got Rashawn Speedy Luke to commit, and he was the MVP, a running back. Reminds me a lot of a Caron Adams type, runs a 10-0, 100 on the track. But in the transfer portal, they got two guys that have already played a lot of football that I think could really help them. First, it was Hunter Eccles. My guesses will be a linebacker for U of A, and they lost a lot of guys to the draft and graduation this past year. So that was a room that they could use a couple extra guys in there. And Eccles is someone that played a lot for USC. So I think that he could really help out on the defensive side. And then Jacob Cohen of Maricopa High School, Arizona native, had a great year last year at UTEP, over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. You know, he was just a huge target, smaller guy, but can make those, you know, has that vertical to go up and get the ball as well. So, you know, I think with the offense last year, what we saw out of Jed Fish, they could move the ball. They just had trouble in the red zone, kind of finishing off drives. So I think adding more pieces like that can really help them. And having Cohen be a guy that has already played a couple of years at the college level, he has that experience. You know, him and Jamari Joyner can kind of team up and have some help out some of these younger receivers that are coming in, of what it's like to be a college athlete, what it's like to play in the Pac-12. So I think that he can help in a lot of different ways, both on and off the field for U of A.
I mean, you look at what Jed Fish and his staff are doing, recruiting the Trinity League so hard. That's the top league in Southern California, and getting a top flight quarterback, the number one wide receiver. I mean, it's been what a transformation for the U of A, and it'll be really interesting to see how that works out. Jordan Hamm with us for a couple of minutes as we continue on through the college transfer portal. All right, Chuba Purdy, his journey's been crazy. I'll just go right back through it and lead it up to you. Leaves Perry High School, highly decorated, commits to Louisville, leaves Louisville when Mike Norvell goes to Florida State, goes to Florida State, has multiple surgeries on his shoulder, didn't work out, goes in the portal, gets hit on by Pitt immediately, and now we're in a space where he's got some programs that are coming after him. There's others out there, but this is a huge week for him, right?
Yeah, going to be a really big week. Recently received offers from Nebraska and Oklahoma. He's going to visit both of those campuses. So I think it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be a bit of a whirlwind. They may take a couple of days and then figure out where they're going, maybe take another visit or two. But it sounds like those are two programs really closely recruiting him. And it's really interesting what's going on in both of their quarterback rooms. For Nebraska, Adrian Martinez, seems like he's been there 8 years.
Forever.
Transferred to Kansas State. Nebraska just took a commitment from former Texas quarterback Casey Thompson, but it sounds like Nebraska is fine taking more than one quarterback, and they'd like to fill that room up a bit as well. Now, Oklahoma, you have Lincoln Riley leave. Brett Venables is in there, but much of the offensive staff is still over there. Caleb Williams recently put his name in the transfer portal. He said he could go back to Oklahoma, but he was also at SoFi Stadium checking out the Rams game on Sunday, as well as the Lakers game. I think he could team up with Lincoln Riley again. If I had to put money on something, I'd probably say that's the scenario. Oklahoma also took in a transfer from Dylan Gabriel, the former UCF quarterback. So there's a lot of moving parts here. Obviously, Chuba still has plenty of eligibility left. So this could be, let's get a more experienced quarterback in there and maybe Chuba can work his way in. Again, as you said, he's coming off multiple surgeries. So it might take a little bit just to get more acclimated, but a lot going on for Chuba for sure. But I think these are two really good landing spots for him wherever he ends up going.
And Oklahoma is very attractive. Mark Whipple is the quarterback coach over at Nebraska. Whipple had an in-home when he was trying to get Chuba to go to Pitt. There's been some SEC schools that have hit on the family about let's come down here. But I think for this week alone, it just sounds like, Jordan, it's going to be Oklahoma first and then Nebraska. Cade Bennett is viewed as one of the top offensive linemen, or was viewed as one of the top offensive linemen when he was at Notre Dame Prep. Mm-hmm. Goes Oklahoma State. He's in the portal. What are you hearing?
Yeah, he instantly received a lot of interest within 12 hours of him putting his name in the portal. Close to 20 schools had already reached out, including Arizona, Arizona State, UCF, Penn State, San Diego State. It sounds like San Diego State has already put kind of the full court press on him, and he's very interested in that. But like you said, I think he would probably be a top five or top 10 player in any other class, except for the one he was in coming out of Arizona. It was just the class of 2020 was so stacked that, you know, his ranking might have gone a little bit down. But this is a guy that is such a great interior lineman. Saw a little bit of time at Oklahoma State. He's been coached up by a really good program for 2 years now. And he's only getting bigger and stronger, which was a scary thought coming out of high school for him as a senior at Notre Dame Prep. So I think there are a lot of really good options for him. And I think he's just going to be a little bit meticulous. I remember going through his high school recruitment. He wasn't going to rush anything. I think he's going to take the same approach here. Obviously, just things just didn't quite work out at Oklahoma State, but he has a lot of really good options that he could take in.
Yeah, and I think you'll see him visit Colorado at some point. Mm-hmm. I think San Diego State probably is the clubhouse leader. He's really interested in business administration. You know, Jaden Daniels, Connor Soley, Isaiah Glass are all putting some, not pressure on him, but just trying to work him through to come to Arizona State. So when you have a lineman that comes out, and let's just look at ASU, they've lost three guys that are leaving mm-hmm. the program. It would make a lot of sense. But I'd say today, if I'm a betting man, San Diego State, as we're sitting here talking about this. Anything else before I get you out of here? Is it just going to be, look, Brad, we're going to be in the middle of the hurricane as long as this transfer portal is doing what it's doing?
Yeah, I think that we'll see some decisions, especially as the semesters are starting up for colleges. I think a lot of decisions will be happening here in the next week or two. One other name that I am really interested in is Matt Polk, former Saguaro wide receiver, also a guy that was at Oklahoma State. He put his name in the transfer. When he was healthy at Saguaro, there were very few people that could guard him, including his teammates that include a guy who's playing for a national championship in Keely Ringo, a guy who saw a lot of time at Washington in Jacoby Covington, and Javen Jacobs, who is going to be making his decision here shortly. So again, when he's healthy, he is a great guy. I know he got banged up at Oklahoma State as well, but I think that wherever he ends up, he can really help a wide receiver room.
That's Jordan Hamm. And again, this is going to be every week, every few weeks, as warranted. Jordan now shifting over on the college front. He'll still be involved in the recruiting roundup. Claudia Collins is taking over Jordan's position. They're going to combo together. We'll put more resources to that. Good stuff, Jordan. We'll see you next week.